take your Bible, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. You're going to kind of laugh at me. This morning I preached on praise. Tonight I'm going to preach on worship. So we're having a praise and worship Sunday, all right? Praise this morning, worship tonight. But Psalm 103, I'm going to read several verses here. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, including COVID, including the flu and the colds, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide." Hang on, page flipped. "Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us." Now, this psalm, Psalm 103, is what we would call a psalm of worship. Now, I said this morning that praise is praising God for what he does and for his word, for his mercy, different things like that. Worship is different. This is not a worship service. There's no such thing as a public worship service anywhere in the scripture. A lot of people will say, well, we're going to church to go to worship. No, worship is how we love God, how we tell God how wonderful he is. For instance, I love my wife, but I'm not going to bring her out here at a church service, stand her in front of everybody, and make you tell her how much you love her for me. That's my job. When we're together, I talk about how good she is, how wonderful she is, how good of a cook she is, how good of a kisser she is. I mean, and all those wonderful things. I thank God for her consistency and her meekness and different things. See, all those things are things that we talk about, let's say, in private, but I'm not going to necessarily ask everybody in the world to stand up and talk to her like that. That's the way it is with God. When you love on God, he wants you to do it one-on-one. It's not supposed to be a group effort. That's what God's talking about here in praise. There's no such thing as a public, or not praise, worship. There's no such thing as a public worship service. It is private between you and God. Now, let me show you from this passage some things that I think will help you. First of all, we're supposed to thank God for his forgiveness. Look at verse number 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." Aren't you thankful God has forgiven you for your sins? You can honk your horn and say amen. Brother Mike, you better honk twice. Yeah, there you go. Salvation brings forgiveness. We ought to thank God and praise him and worship him for his eternal salvation. Did you know the moment you got saved, you're never going to be judged for your sins? Matter of fact, we read in verse number 12 that as far as the east is from the west, so he's removed our transgressions from us. The east and the west never meet. They never will. And God says, I have removed your sin as far away from you as it's possible to be done. And that's a wonderful thing. Even if you're having a bad day, you can look to God and say, God, I've had a rough day. I've blown it, but you forgave my sins. I'll never face judgment for it. I'm going to face some stupid things down here because of it. But I love you and thank you for saving me, that you forgave my sins. There you go. Thank God for it. By the way, your past sins, your present sins and your future sins. He forgave them all. All of our sins have been forgiven. Jesus paid for all of our sins. By the way, that means we should learn from God how we're to forgive others. You know, sometimes people do things and we feel like they've sinned against us. Well, we're not God. They didn't sin against us. They sinned against God. But it's our job to forgive. Listen to this statement very carefully. And I believe I'm preaching on this Wednesday night. Forgiveness is not for the one who did wrong. It's for the one who has been wronged. God forgives us for his sake. See, forgiveness keeps you from getting bitter. Forgiveness keeps you from getting your nose bent out of shape because somebody did something to you. God doesn't get bent out of shape because you sinned. He knows you're going to be a sinner. And his forgiveness is for his sake, not for our sake. We ought to forgive others. By the way, this is an important statement. You need to learn to forgive yourself. There are people that live in regret over past sins, and it hinders their present. Can I tell you something? Forgive yourself and move on. You don't have to live in regret of sin. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. God has forgiven you. So the first thing we do as we worship God is we thank him for his eternal salvation, his forgiveness. By the way, you can't worship God if you don't accept forgiveness. It's pretty hard to go to God and tell him how wonderful he is if you've got a grudge against him. It's pretty hard for, if I'm mad at my wife for some reason, which I'm not, never have been, but if I were upset with my wife, it's pretty hard for me to, if I would have ever gotten mad and screamed and hollered at her and then say, oh, I love you just so much. That's not going to go over real well. It's going to take time to heal. And you can't hold bitterness in your heart and worship God at the same time. You have to be forgiven of yourself and your sins so that you can be right with God and love on God as you should. Number two, we ought to thank him for our salvation and also our forgiveness. Watch this. Look at verse number four. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Folks, about the time you have a bad day, realize something. Your name's written in heaven. You never have to die and go to hell. I don't know about you. We've had bad days here on earth, but it's not near as bad as hell's going to be. Little sickness going around, a lot of political issues, a lot of craziness in our world. But can I tell you something? It's still better than hell. Yeah. Thank God for it. Hey, my name is written in heaven. I will never have to go to hell. I never have to see hell. The only part of it that I get to experience is we're going to get to stand there and watch God kick Satan into hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And I can't wait to see that because I am sick and tired of the old smutty face. We're supposed to have a good outlook about the fact that, hey, no matter how bad it is down here, what's the old song? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, we're just passing through. This is temporary. It's not eternal. Next, let me say this. This is one of my favorite things to worship God with. I like telling him he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Because guess what? I'm his child. And all of a sudden, when I talk to God about how wonderful he is being the King and the ruler and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I realize I'm a child of the King. I have a royal inheritance. I have everything available to me that's available to Jesus Christ because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We become joint heirs with Jesus. Folks, do you realize you are a child of the King? Not just a child of God, but a child of the King. Every bit of richness, every bit of greatness, every bit of power, every bit of wonderment that God is, we have access to because we are His child. Man, that's enough to make you want to shout. I thank God for it. Now, I don't have to live that way down here, but someday we're going to live like King's children. We're going to be in heaven with our Father, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ought to bask in that. We ought to be thankful for that. Can I tell you something? When you start feeling a little in the mully grubs, just start talking to God about how good He is. It'll pull you out, I promise you. Number next, I've got to hurry. We ought to thank God for His blessings on us. Verse number one, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Folks, the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, the earth on which we live, the jobs in which we work, the homes in which we live, the cars by which we drive, every part of our life, God owns it all, and He's given every bit of it to us. He's been pretty good to us. That doesn't mean everything always works exactly the way we wished it was. We may not have the fanciest, but we have a good God. He blesses us. He gives us everything we have. You know, we need to live a life of royalty based on that, not looking around at what other people have and say, well, God, I wished I had that. You know, I don't wish I had anything other than what I have. I want what God wants for me to have. And let's enjoy God's blessing on our life. Hey, I praise the Lord we are able to have church today. Yeah, I'm thankful that we have this many folks here tonight. We had a good crowd this morning. Say, why? Because I'm thankful at least we have the ability to have church. It may not be the way we want to do it. Okay, but at least we can have it and everybody can be safe. And I think it's the right thing for us to do at this time. Praise the Lord for that. Bless the Lord for that. Then, next, we ought to look at verse number 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Did you know that God can give you the right words to say and strength because of that? Look at what He says here. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Well, the only thing in your mouth is your tongue and your teeth. Depending on what you're eating, there could be food in there or spit. But this is talking about our words. We're to be satisfied with the words God puts in our mouth. Listen to this statement very carefully here. We ought not get down into the mud of the politics and the nastiness of our world and even speak like the world. You know, the world has some pretty crude speech, pretty nasty talk. We Christians ought not talk like the unsaved. We ought not have the attitude of the lost. And by the way, we ought not have it at home. We ought not have it in the world. We ought not have it at church. You ought not have it anywhere you are, at work. We ought to be an example and have God touch our mouth so that we speak the good things, not the negative things. Let's not stoop down into the mud of the nasty world. We all have negative thoughts. We're sinful. We all have negative words that come to our mind. But just because it enters here does not mean it should exit here. You say, well, I just speak what's on my mind, preacher. Well, sometimes nobody needs to know what you're thinking. There are times people don't need to know what I'm thinking, so I don't say anything. You say, why? Because I'd rather not say the wrong thing, or I'd rather not say the negative thing, because it's not what the Lord wants me to say. You want to solve arguments at home? I just showed you how to do it. Learn to worship God and let Him control your tongue. We need to talk about how good God is, not about the news of the day. Oh, can I challenge you? Be careful how much news you watch or read. It'll depress you. And if you're listening to mainline news, you're not hearing any truth, I promise you. They have this thing so messed up, it's not even funny. They're not reporting news, they're making propaganda. Let's just let things happen as they will. We'll get through this. America's lasted all these 240 plus years. We're going to make it again. Now, we need to focus on the eternal, not the temporary. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. When you get depressed about what's happening, say, Lord, rapture's coming soon. Won't be too awful long. We'll be going to heaven. Yeah, I'm ready for Him to come now. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But if He doesn't, we're going to make it another day. And if He doesn't come the next day, we'll make it another day. And that's what it's all about. We need to speak with a spiritual tongue, not just with the big mouth that God gave us. Boy, the hardest thing for me to do is not always give my opinion. You know, my opinion is just that, an opinion. It's not the Word of God. Sometimes my opinion really doesn't matter. Matter of fact, most of the time my opinion does not matter. Thank you for not honking. there's so many times we get this God mentality that we just got to tell somebody what our opinion is. You know, our opinion really doesn't matter unless it's asked for. And even then, it ought to be given carefully so we don't hurt people with it. I'm going to finish with just a couple statements here. Take time to praise God like we talked about this morning. Take time every day to worship God. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His salvation. Thank Him for His forgiveness. Thank Him for His blessing on us. Thank Him for being the King of Kings and us being a child of the King. Thank Him for blessing our mouth and being able to give us strength by that. You say, why? Because if you'll love God the way you should, it'll keep you humble. Do you know, if you keep somebody over you, you're less likely to play God. If you keep in mind how great and how powerful and how wonderful God is, you're less apt to act like a god. Keep yourself humble by worship. That's what the word worship means. It means to humbly bow, not necessarily on your knees, but to surrender so that you don't lift yourself above somebody else. If the President of the United States were here tonight, you wouldn't walk up, put your hand in his hand, and say, hey, Don, how you doing? That would be very disrespectful. You would greet him as Mr. President with honor, with respect. You say, why? Because he has a position of authority. By the way, God has more authority than anybody. We ought to be humble before Him. And if you'll keep yourself humble before Him, even when somebody around you messes up, you're less likely to get out of sorts. Why is worship so important? Because it will keep you humble. It'll give you a humbleness that keeps you. By the way, I love my wife. And the more I love on her, the more humble I am, the less likely I am to get upset with her. If I keep reminding myself how good she is, if there is a mistake here or there, whether it be on purpose or not, I'm less likely to get upset because I remember more times about how wonderful she is, not the mistakes. Now, she doesn't have many other than she married me. No honking, please. All right? But if we'll keep ourselves in that love with God, we're going to be more humble and able to get through this life without having an arrogance about us.